Well, let's get in the Word together. I think we all do. I think we all have questions because I think we're living in a different time, but this is personal. I believe that God is taking His bride back into where He started with her. So I think God's moving us back into a fullness of the book of Acts. I mean, when did it change? You know, when I ask myself questions, excuse me, can we have what they had? I mean, when did it get diluted? When did it get changed? It didn't. It's still the same. We don't have a different Jesus, a different gospel, a different Holy Spirit. It's the same. I think probably along the way we got a little religious, but God's moving us back into the book of Acts. And I think the Lord's coming for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. He's not coming for some little old whiny bride sitting over in the corner and saying, "Jesus, if you don't hurry up and come, we're not going to make it." I don't think that at all. I'm telling you right now, God is God. And you know, and He's never catching up. Don't get behind. Can't learn anything. Can't go anywhere. He's already there. Can't get any more power. He has all of it. Hallelujah. And we get to call Him Father, and we get to call Jesus our Lord and Savior. So let me tell you what I want to talk to you about for a little bit. I want to talk to you about the Jesus baptism. That's what I want to talk about, the Jesus baptism. You know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is very biblical, controversial. Of course, Jesus is too. But I'll stick with the Word. Amen. So we want to talk about the Jesus baptism because when you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit in you. Romans 8 says, without the Holy Spirit, we're not His. But there's a difference in the birth and the baptism of the Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is Jesus' gift to His bride. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that it's a gift? You can't earn a gift. All you can do is thank Him who gave it to you. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit is His gift. It's the promise of the Father given through the Son by the Spirit to the bride. Hallelujah. How many of you know Jesus wants all of us to be full of the Holy Spirit? Amen. I mean, how many of you know one of these days you and I are going to stand before the Lord, and I don't want Him to look at me and go, "Doc, son, I had so much. Why did you get stuck with why did you get stuck at A when you could have gone through the whole alphabet?" I'd rather Him say, "Oh, I'm telling you, you used every promise I had. Hallelujah." And I think you would say the same thing. So let's start out with our thinking and look at Jesus as the model for us as the Holy Spirit is living in us and through us. So I'll give you a lot of scriptures, and if you have your Bible and are writing them down, you can write them down. But let's start in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. The angel shows up with the Virgin Mary, as you well know, and says, "You're going to have a boy." "Well, I don't know a man." You know that whole conversation. And the angel said, "Well, that's no problem, because in verse 35, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you." And these are my translations here. "And you will become pregnant by that overshadowing Holy Spirit." So Mary became pregnant supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. 9 months later, He was born physically, fully man and fully God, but born by the Spirit's conception. So that was number one. Number two, about 30 years after that, He steps into the Jordan in Luke chapter 3, verse 21, 22. Okay, steps in, and John is baptizing in the Jordan. And as He is baptized by John, comes up out of the water, the Bible says, there it is right here in the text, the Bible says, the Spirit of God came on Him like a dove, a baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the Son of God. He's already been born of the Spirit. Now he's being baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Father must have liked it because he said in verse 22, and the Father said, this is my boy, like him. That's my translation. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So it would seem to me that it pleases the Father that we be born again. John 3, right? It pleased the Father that we be baptized in the Holy Spirit, it would seem to me. And that it would please the Father that we would walk in the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Spirit that would bring honor and glory to his name. Now, the interesting thing to me is when I got baptized in water, the preacher baptized me in the water. Do you understand? The water didn't baptize me. The preacher did. I got baptized. June and I did, and our kids did. We were living in Kentucky, and this was March. It's cold in Kentucky in March. There was a creek behind our house that was cold in July. I got baptized as a Methodist preacher. I'd been sprinkled, but I wasn't at peace about it. So I got baptized like the froze to death. But I made it. Hallelujah. But the preacher put me under the water. But how many of you know the preacher did the baptizing, the water didn't? Now, John came along and said, I have a message. Here's my message. Repent, be baptized. But there's one coming behind me whose shoelaces I'm unworthy to reach down and untie. He, hallelujah, he that's coming behind me, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Let me give you the scripture. Matthew 3:11, he said, with fire. And in Mark 1:8, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Luke 3:16, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John 1:33 says the same. Four Gospels record John's message. There's one coming. He has a baptism for you, and two of them said, and with fire. Now, fire. How many of you know what we need in America, come on now, is a fired up church? How many know we've been smoking long enough, we need some fire. Somebody told me one time, one of the sayings of the early church when they met one another would ask each other this, are you burning? Come on now. How many of you know Jesus came to set his bride on fire? I'm telling you right now, if we had enough fire in the church in America, we wouldn't have the problem in Washington we have this morning. How many of you know the devil wants to water down the truth, cool down the fire, make you look good, want you to be nice to everybody? And God said, I've come, sent my son to live in you and fire you up to make the devil mad and defeat the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. That's fire. Now, that was John's message. But you know, when you get over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, you know it well. Paul said that the Holy Spirit will baptize us into the body of Christ. Didn't say Jesus. Did you get that? Who's doing the baptism? The Holy Spirit is baptizing us into the body of Christ, not Jesus. That is not the Jesus baptism. When you got saved, it's not the baptism I'm talking about. That's the baptism of Spirit into the body of Christ. Jesus has a gift. The gift is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So when I look at that, I go, glory to God. You remember that scripture over in Acts 2:38, and I'll read it maybe in a minute, but I heard this. I was up in Assembly of God Church in Frankfort, Kentucky, and this evangelist used to be a chaplain in the military. He told this story. He said, I was a chaplain in the military, and the government sent me the sermons, and I just kind of articulated them, and it was boring. But there was an old, he called him a red-headed sergeant that started coming. And he said at the end of every service, this old red-headed sergeant would come up. He had a little lisp in his voice, and he'd say, "Sir, let me ask you something. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Of course, he said, "I hadn't. I didn't know where there was a Holy Ghost, you know." And he said he got to boring me. I mean, just, it was awful. Every time I'd preach, here he'd come. This old red-headed sergeant, "Hey, sir, let me ask you something." Same question every time. He said, "It got so bad, I went to my officers and I said, 'Sir, would you transfer me to another unit?'" And they did. And then he said, this is what he said. He said, and there was skirmishes broke out and gunfire, and I was out on the front line, and I was running to a foxhole, and I jumped in a foxhole, and there's a man in it. When I jumped in that foxhole, I heard this voice say, "Hey, sir, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" I mean, he told that. He said, right then, I considered God's trying to say something to me. How many believe that God might be trying to say something to the body of Christ? Be ye filled and filled and filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, let's set this up. Jesus had to come. Amen. He had to come. He had to come. It was written, it was before time began, Jesus had to come. So Jesus had to die as us, second Adam, and for us. Okay, so he died as us and for us. And then on the cross, he paid the debt. We couldn't pay for it. He didn't owe anything, but he did it for us. So and then he was put in a tomb for 3 days, you know that. Third day came out, and for 40 days he walked around on planet Earth. 40 days, seen by at least 500 according to Scripture. So he walking around for 40 days on Earth, and then ascends back to heaven. Now, when he sat down at the right hand of the Father, he's got a plan. He's always, and you know, God's not coming up with a plan. Come on now. Come on now. Let's think how big God is. Let's look at a little pea brain in you. God can't learn anything. He knows everything. He's everywhere all the same time. He has all power. That's God. And I get to call him Father, and so do you. And then I get to call his son Jesus, my Savior and Lord, and the Holy Spirit living in us. So when I look at what Jesus did, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, how many of you know 10 days later, he's going to send the gift? He's going to send his gift to his bride. Now, June's not here this morning. I wish she was, but she's fine the crud. But anyway, I want to give her good things. Why? Because I love her. She's the love of my life. But how many of you know, I cannot love her like Father loves me. Because Father says, I'm going to send my promise through my son to my bride. Hallelujah. It's going to be a gift, and that gift will be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So now he's at the right hand of the Father. How many of you know, 10 days they're in the upper room? Must have been Christian. You can't get a prayer meeting 10 days. I mean, we have to have 10 chicken dinners to get 10 for 10 days. A barbecue and a picnic or something, you know. I'm not with you guys, but you know what I mean. So 10 days. So the interesting thing to me, the interesting thing, is that in John chapter 20, how many of you know, over here, after the resurrection was different than it was over here before the resurrection. Jesus lived under the old covenant. Come on, now, he lived under the law. He never broke the law. He lived perfectly without sin, but he lived under the law of the old covenant. He in the power of the Holy Spirit without measure, by the way. So he lived here. But when he died at the cross, he fulfilled what had been promised would happen at the cross. Now on the other side of the cross, the resurrection, things are different. Hallelujah. Debt's been paid. Come on. The tomb is empty. Hallelujah. So over on this side, and for 40 days, we don't know what all he did because we don't have all of the stuff in Scripture. But he did meet with his disciples. And on one occasion in John 20, he said, receive the Holy Spirit right here now. Huh. This is on this side over here. Now, how many know over here, nobody got born again? Come on now. Up until beyond the cross, nobody got born again. I didn't say saved. Everybody used their credit card. Every sacrifice was a credit card pointing to this day at the cross. They used their credit card. How many know at the cross? I love using this thing. I just don't like thinking about one day I got to pay for it. I don't know about you. It's just so easy to go, you know. But you got to pay. And back here, the sacrifice under the sacrificial system is all credit card. Have you know at the cross? He paid the debt. He paid a debt you couldn't pay by dying for you and as you. Whew. Aren't you glad? Somebody said, the angel didn't roll the stone away to let him out. They rolled the stone away to let Peter in. Amen. And then here he is for 40 days. He's moving around. And now he's with his, John 20, he's with his disciples. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Well, I ran across that when I was in seminary. I mean, it just leaped out. Professors never did like me to come around because I always had questions. Usually they couldn't answer, only nobody else could either. But anyway, so I, you know, especially at lunch, all the professors eat lunch, and I'd say, sir, let me ask you something. What do you think John 20 is where Jesus breathed ago? Well, I think he gave them part of the Holy Spirit. I used to think, I wonder what part he gave them. I'm serious. That's exactly. Then someone say, he whetted their appetite. I go, that's not what he's saying. So, I mean, I ask a bunch of them. And they're way above me. I'm not belittling my professors. So one day I just said it. I said, Lord, I can't find anybody knows. I heard the Lord. He said, I know. Gee whiz, why didn't I think of that? He knows. He knows. I said, okay. And I heard the Lord. The Lord said, get your Greek New Testament and I'll show you. I was taking the Greek then, you know. So I got it and parsed the verb, do all the stuff, you know. And this is what it said. Receive ye the Holy Spirit right here and now. They didn't get a piece. They got born again. Are you listening to me? They got born again. Now they're born again. Now we don't know about the rest of them, but we do know this bunch, when they got to the upper room, they were not there to get born again. They already were. Huh. Jesus' gift of the baptism is not to get you born again. It's not to get you to heaven. It's get heaven in you. How many of you know God wants heaven in you, out of you, and through you? All of us, okay? So here they are. In Acts chapter 1, I'd love to read these scriptures. Let me just read a few here, if I may. Jesus said Acts 1, verse 4, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Now, what he said? He said, I've been talking to you about it. If he's been talking about it, I won't talk about it. Then he said, John baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not even today. I mean, they don't like a brain surgeon to figure out these things. Boys, stay in Jerusalem. I got something I want to do for you. When that changed? It hasn't. And then, I mean, he goes on to say in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Huh. Power. Dunamis. I like that word. I'm not a Greek scholar. I just knew one. He ran a restaurant down the street down here. But I can tell you this. Dunamis, we get the word dynamic or dynamite. I learned a lot of lessons from my daddy. My daddy was a farmer. And occasionally he got real energetic and would want to clear land. And we'd cut the timber off. But then you got to dig the stumps up. I don't know if you've ever dug up a stump or not. If any cuss in you, it'll bring it out. You think the root is in China. And my dad had a revelation. He was a Christian. He had a revelation. He went up to the store and bought him some dynamus, except they called it dynamite. He would take half a stick of dynamite, stick it under that big old stump, light the fuse, and run. And when the explosion went off, that thing would just roll right out of the ground. Gee whiz. Reckon when the church is going to figure that out. We've been digging stumps long enough. All we need is some dynamus. You got it? So we changed Dad changed the way we farmed. He used dynamus now, and we didn't have, you know, so many blisters on our hands. Now, I believe the church is coming into a greater revelation. Now, we had it when the charismatic thing broke out in the 60s. It was wonderful. I was part of it. Still am. If there's no such thing going on now that I know of, but I'm no different now than I was then. So, but I think what's about to happen in the church is greater than the charismatic thing. I think what's about to happen is a dunamis. I think what's going to happen to some people like you, you're going to be at Walmart getting a loaf of bread when God said, pray for that woman. She got healed over on aisle 9. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, there's 10 others on aisle 9 heard you prayed. Before you know it, Walmart's got revived. You say, you are dreaming. Let me dream on. I believe that's the kingdom of God. Amen. See, if we aren't careful, we want to confine everything to here. Listen, God has sent His Spirit in you to live through you wherever that may be. Hallelujah. I love that. So when I look at this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I go, glory to God. Well, Lord, that I like that. It's like this little old lady that had a guy broke in her house. And she's a Pentecost. We broke in. She saw him. She hollered at him, Acts 2:38. We just stopped. She called the police. Police came, and the old boy's still standing there like this. Hadn't moved. Police couldn't figure it out. What in the world did you say to him? He won't move. And she said, oh, what's that doing? Was Acts 2:38? He said, oh, I thought you said you had an axe in 2:38. Hammy, even though Acts 2:38 does have dunamis, still has power. Amen. So I've come to tell you that we're headed. The hungry is headed to an incredible encounter with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe that with all my heart. I believe with all my heart. I got saved in February 63. I mean, I knew I was saved. I mean, Gina and I got involved in church. We jumped right in the middle of it. But it wasn't long until I wasn't convicted. I was hungry. How many hungry folks do we have in the house? Put your hand up. I'm hungry. Thank God for you. That's one of the great characteristics of you. People are hungry. And so I got hungry. But I didn't know what I was hungry for. I mean, I didn't have a reference point where I went to church. Anyway. Enough said. But anyway, I was just hungry. And then God called me to preach. And all of that. The nerve. I'm starving to death and he calls me to preach. So I, June and I, and we didn't have a manual. Nobody told us when we got there, do this, do this, do this. All I did was read scripture every Sunday and tell them how I got saved. Would y'all want to get saved? And they did. So the church started growing. Not because of me, it was just the gospel. Our kids can tell you. And so I'm hungry. And after a while, I started asking my parishioners, Y'all believe there's more to this thing than just getting saved? Oh, yeah, yeah. I can see them, oh, yeah, brother, yeah. What is it? We don't know. I'm telling you, the gospel, that was they were honest. They didn't know either, but they were hungry. Isn't that amazing? Pews are full of hungry people not being fed the Word and the Spirit. Isn't that terrible? And so, in one day, you heard part of my testimony. Well, one day I met a guy that knew. He was a first church preacher. And I'm just a peon. But I was praying with him, and he flew off in tongues. Lord Jesus, what is this? Scared me half to death. But in my heart, I knew that man had something that I was looking for. And I still remember, please let me repeat myself. I still remember when we were praying for somebody, and I couldn't wait to get that guy out back here. Come on, talk to this. I found what I've been hunting. And so I called his name and I said, how long you been doing that? Oh, he said, a long time. You don't. I go, no, but I want to. Well, you'd think a man of that character would lay hands on me or give me some instructions and nothing. You know what he said? Well, Doc, you have not because you ask not. Just walk off. Hurt my feelings bad, but it was God. And I went home to the parsonage, went in the back room and shut the door. In this case, we had a visitor. I got down by an old green chair, and I said, Lord Jesus, what my brother's got is what I've been looking for. Lord, would you give me what he's got? Because I think that's what I've been hunting. All of a sudden, glory to God. I started praying in tongues. Scared me to death. I'm serious. I thought my heart's going to jump out of my chest. But I knew it was God. Didn't tell anybody. Didn't tell June. For a whole month, when I told her, it made her mad. Because I didn't tell her when I got it. Here's the interesting thing. One of the most spiritual ladies in our church, true, called me one morning and said, oh, Brother Doc, what is it? I thought something was wrong. You won't believe what happened to me this morning. I go, really? What was it? I was praying and I just started praying in this language. I go, well, glory to God. There's two of us here now. Isn't that amazing? Because the fastest growing bodies of believers on planet Earth are people preaching what I'm telling you. Are you listening to me? It's working. God's working. Hallelujah. So when I look at it and I say, okay, Lord, so where do we go? Here's what I come up with on how to get in on this. Now you go, well, I don't know that I'm interested. That's fine. God has a Ways and Means Committee, and it works. Pause. I was sitting in Boaz, Alabama. How many of you know where Boaz is? Anybody? Oh, yeah. At a little old cafe. It wasn't a restaurant. It was a cafe with a friend of mine. Doc, you ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And I go, yep. Got it when I got saved. He said, no, you didn't. I said, I did. He didn't argue with me. You know what he did? Started praying. I knew he did. Guess what? I started getting hungry and more miserable until I got what he asked me that I have. Aren't you glad that God loves you so much? He will bring you to a service like this and go, I love you. I have a gift for you. Don't let fear rob you of what I have for you. Are you listening to me? Well, I don't know about all that's real emotional. Have you watched the Alabama-Auburn ball game recently? Oh, it's that emotional stuff. They holler. They hug. Nobody seems to care. We come to church. We sit like zombies. Not you. And anything out of that is emotional. I sat down at an Alabama-Kentucky game right behind two fellers with a brown bag. I don't know what was in it. But the more they drank, the louder they got. And I'm sitting there, and I'll be honest with you, I came to a conclusion. Watching them two guys and watching 22 people trying to get that ball and do what they want to with it, with 50, 60,000 screaming and hollering. When I get to church, if I want to holler, bless God, I'm going to holler. If I want to say amen, I'm going to say amen. I don't have to apologize. When they're looking for pigskin and I'm celebrating the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and you tell me to be quiet, God help all of us in the name of Jesus. Now, you don't have to scream and holler, but if you do, it's all right. He's worth it. Amen. Read the text. When you read the text, you'll find Jesus wasn't quiet all the time. And so the power of God is now coming in a new way, I believe, on the body of Christ. So here's my four-point conclusion. What do we do? First of all, present yourself. Present yourself to Him. If you're a believer, present yourself to Him. Not part of you, all of you. I am not my own. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ now lives in me. I present myself to you. How many of you be willing? And I know I'm a little personal, but isn't the gospel personal? I mean, come on now. How many are willing to say, Lord, here I am? How many be willing to say that to the Lord? Put your hand up, put it back down. I'll be willing. Okay. Most of you, here I am. I mean, you know, my goodness. How many know Charlotte Elliott learned that when she came to a friend of hers and said, I want to get saved, but I can't fix it. He said, you don't have to come just as you are. She wrote a hymn, just as I am. You can't come any other way. How many know you can't lie to God? I mean, you can't go, no, it's not over in the corner, Lord. He goes, I know it's over there. Why don't you get real? Present yourself. That's number one. Very simple. Present yourself to the Lord. Second, believe this is for you. And you know, it's not for the Pentecostals or the Charismatics or the Church of God or the Assemblies of God. It's for every believer. And you know, this is not a denominational truth. This is a Bible fact. It's for you. God wants you to have the gift of the Spirit of God that He talked about in Acts 2. Believe it's for me. One of the things we get hung up is, well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe if He wants me to have it, I'll get it. Have you know you'd die single if you believe that? God wants me married, I'll wind up one morning married. Gee whiz. That makes a lot of sense. You'll die single. And you'll die empty if you believe that what you just say, you said in your mind right there. Well, God wants me to have it, I'll have it. He wants you to have it. It is not an it, it's a Him. And He wants to fill you with Himself and love on you like love. You know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is? A baptism of love. For the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. So first of all, present yourself and believe. And then be willing to receive. You know, receiving is... I've gone through some funny things. I've told you some of them. I've gone through some funny things in my life, and God teaching me that people have a hard time receiving without giving something back. A few years ago, like I told you, a few years ago, a couple in our church got a big farm, and he came up to me at church one day and said, Doc, you like watermelon? And I said, I like watermelon. He said, I got 8 or 9 acres of watermelons. I don't want any more. You have all of them. I go, really? So I took my old truck and I went up. I've never seen so many watermelons in all my life. I mean, I hauled 6 truckloads of watermelons. All that old truck. And Vicky had a little pickup there. Hers was dragging the ground. Big old long striped watermelons. The first thing, my first load, I stopped at the Shell station to get me a drink. And this thing, the back bumper's there drinking. Full of watermelons. This guy, I'm getting right. The guy says, them your watermelons? I said, yes, sir. What you get for them? I said, oh, they're free. Free? Yeah, I said, you can have one. I don't want one. I want to pay for it. I said, you can't pay for it. Did you know? He got upset with me because I wasn't charging for the dadgum watermelon. But you know, I stood there in that Shell station and I thought, what a lesson on the grace of God. Stop trying to pay for it. He's already got it for you. Glory to God. Is that not? And so, believe, I can't earn this. I receive. Well, okay, so present yourself, believe it's for you, and then go ahead and receive. And then, what do you do now? What do you do with the gift? You thank him. Thank you, Lord. If I'd have known it was this precious, I'd have got in a long time ago. Well, you didn't, but you do now. So you can get in on it. Glory to God. I'll tell you one more watermelon story. This is hilarious and sad all the same time. I stopped to get gas. I guess I had 15 or 20 watermelons left in the back of the truck and some tomatoes. This guy's pumping in front of me. I pull up behind him. He walked over and goes, that your stuff? I said, yes, sir. What you get for him? I said, just get you some. It's free. No, what you get for him? I said, no, they're free. So he got him a couple of melons and a few tomatoes and while he's pumping gas. This is a gospel. He comes over to me. Tears is running down his face. And he grabbed me like this. It's a gas pump. Said, this is the greatest day of my life. I'm thinking, my God, over a watermelon and some tomatoes? No. It was over the grace of God that he couldn't pay back and say, I bought it. Somebody else bought it for me. Aren't you glad the day you knelt at the cross, you didn't bring your credit card. You brought your nothing. And you brought your mess. And you brought your sin. And you brought your hurt. And you brought your pain. And laid it down. And he gave you life for all that mess. That's the grace of God. Well, I think we'll do something about it. Don't y'all think we ought? Listen, if some dignitary gave me an invitation, I probably would respond. But a greater than Solomon this morning is giving us an invitation. Come, I want you to receive the gift I died to give you, the baptism of my Spirit, to show you my love and my grace and my mercy, so that out of you will flow rivers of living water, that you can show me to your world. Yeah, you know, I know many of you Bible scholars will know this, but how many of you know that under the old covenant there was the tabernacle so God could dwell, and you know, there was the Holy of Holies, and I mean there was the outer court and the holy place and then the Holy of Holies, a three-part, which was a replica of us. We are spirit, soul, body. And so you had the outer court, and then you have the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies was where the Ark of the Covenant was, behind the giant curtain, as you would know, and overlaid with a gold lid, and had it in one time different item of the Ten Commandments and the golden pot, etc., and the rod that budded. But anyway, and above it was the two angels. And there was the glory of God. The priest would go in one time a year to make sacrifice in the Holy of Holies. One day, you can find it in Ezekiel. One day, the Shekinah glory of God left the Holy of Holies, went to the threshold of the temple, and then between two angels went back into heaven. And for 400 years, hardly anything on planet Earth in relation to God was noted until shepherds were outside the wall taking care of their sheep. Many will say probably the lambs that were for sacrifice. We don't know that. And the glory of the Lord appeared to those shepherds. And let me tell you in Lauderdale language. He said, boys, there's being one born in Bethlehem that will bring the glory back to planet Earth. In Bethlehem's manger, the house of bread, he was born, as we've already gone through it. Hallelujah. Dead, raised, seated. Now I'm over here. Now you are God. Let me back up. God's not living in. We don't build a building like this for God to dwell in. We build this for us to meet in. Now the atmosphere can be charged with the presence of God. God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He dwells in you. Now you are outer court. Holy place, holy of holies. When you got saved, God came by the Spirit to live in your spirit. And so Jesus came and said, now I want to give you a gift, not only to live in your spirit, I want to give you an anointing that will overshadow you. And I will use you. And I will flow through you. I will reveal myself to you. Aren't you glad this Holy Spirit makes Jesus real? He makes love real. He makes life real. He makes ministry real. I've tried it without the Holy Spirit. One time, I thought I was doing it myself. And I'm sitting up in the pulpit in this Methodist church, sitting up in the pulpit. I'm looking at the crowd. The place was packed. I said, look at this crowd. Look at that, Lord. You could have another Billy Graham on your hands. He must have looked at me and go, bless his heart. Because I heard him say, so let me see what you can do without me. It was like he walked out of me and sat down on the front pew. I got up to preach. Tried to read, couldn't read. Tried to preach, couldn't preach. Tried to pray, couldn't pray. Couldn't do nothing. 15 minutes, I was so embarrassed. Closed the book, said prayer, went to the parson. He's got in the back room and begged God to forgive me. To think for one second that I could do this and that what was happening was not the Holy Spirit who lived inside of me. 2 o'clock that morning, I said, if you ever, 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 ever decided to use me in any way, I will not be fool enough to know that it's me. It'll have to be you. Aren't you glad you can live that way? I mean, it don't have to be you. I mean, after all, if you know him, he wants to fill you this morning. Now, here's what we're going to do. We got time to do it. How many people in the building? Hey, Jamie, I see you back there. My brother. Love you, buddy. How many people would say to God, Lord, I need a new anointing. Lift your hand up. Put it up. Put it up. Don't be ashamed of it. I need a fresh anointing. Put your hand up. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I need a fresh anointing. Thank you. Thank you. How many people said, I love Jesus. I love God, but I've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I'm hungry, preacher. And I believe I'm going to present myself. I'm going to believe it's for me. I'm going to receive. And I'm going to leave here rejoicing. How many people are hungry for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You're hungry. Raise your hand. Put your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. Put your hand up. You know what grabs us? First of all, it's fear. But here's what I found out. When our girls were small, Saturday was their work day at our house. June made it, I mean, you know. Sometimes they would sit down at the table and go, is this all we got? I mean, I don't mean that in derogatory. You know, June had a Ways and Means Committee. She just worked them a little harder. So when they sit down, they didn't care if it was paper plates. They didn't care if it was blown in bread. I'm hungry because hunger overrides opinion. And so if you're hungry, don't let somebody, well, what are they going to think? Who cares what they think? What does God think? What do you don't you want to leave here going, wow, if I'd have known this. Amen. I remember the first little girl I ever kissed. I thought, my goodness, if I'd have known this, I'd been kissing them a long time. Of course, I was only about 10 years old. So I'll tell you what, let's just bow our heads together. Musicians will come, if you will, Andrew. If you would like to if you didn't lift your hand but you wanted to, I want to be filled with the Spirit, Brother Doc, because I'm hungry. I need a new anointing from the Lord because things have been trying. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to come and make a line down front. We're going to pray. God's going to give you a new anointing. If you come for the baptism, you will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit just according to Scripture, just like God said. Nothing's changed. It's still real. So when we start the music in just a minute after I pray, I want you, we're going to stand, we all, and I want you to just come. If you didn't raise your hand, please come anyway if you desire. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for the atmosphere right now in this place. For every hand that was lifted, I thank you. For fresh anointing, I thank you, Father. For those that lifted, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, if there's one here this morning that's not saved, they don't know you, Jesus. I pray, Father, that this will be the morning that they say yes. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Let me see. Is there anyone in the building that would say to the Lord, Lord, I don't know that I've been born again, but I'd like to be. Would you lift your hand up? Anybody? I don't want to leave anybody out. Anybody? I just wanted to be sure. So, Lord, as we worship and as we minister, thank you for yoke-breaking anointing over everyone that comes. I thank you. We refuse to be the same as we came today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you stand, please? Amen. We'll get the team, the ministry team down in a minute, but not yet. So if you lifted your hand, I want you to come quickly. Come like you're hungry. Come like you're thirsty. Slip out and come. Just come quickly. Just make a line down front. There you go. Hallelujah. Just come on. Come on. Come on. Don't be ashamed. Just make a line where people can get to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't this wonderful? Thank you, Jesus. Just keep it. Yeah. You may need to direct traffic there, Larry, or somebody. I don't know. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful. Looked like an army to me. An army dressed for battle. An army dressed for presence. They're still coming. Anyone else? We don't want to leave anybody out. Else. They're still coming. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit's not in a hurry. Still coming. Well, Dale, I didn't know you were here. God bless you. All of you that came, I want you to put your hand up and just lift your hand. I want you to say this after me. Lord Jesus, today is my day. In Jesus' name, I belong to you. I confess every sin. I believe today I will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A new anointing will be upon me today. I will not leave like I came. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now what we're going to do, we're going to let anybody leave that needs to leave. Except God. And let's just hang out with God for a little while. We get our prayer team, altar workers up here, and I'll be down in a minute. We're just going to pray. And don't leave until you get ministered to. And when somebody lays hands on you, let faith arise. Lord, I believe. I believe. In Jesus' name. Rest of you, God bless you. Stay. Don't run if you don't have to. I just want to release you as we minister here, because we may be a while. We want these people blessed in Jesus' name. God bless you for coming. Okay, worship team.